Hey everyone, before we open today's file, please make sure to follow us on Instagram at d.s.radio, where you can find all the images that go along with today's case. You can drop us an email at contact.dsradio@gmail.com. You can find all of our socials in the Linktree bio on our Instagram profile, including links to merch. If you're feeling especially generous, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dystopiansimulationradio, where you can get access to our exclusive Instagram page and make suggestions for upcoming episode topics that you would like us to cover. Speaking of Patreon, thanks to our Patreons, Riff Cult, Cropley Crab, Cash Broadus, Raspberry Jr., Jason R. Nelson, Creepy Paper, Jamie Sook, Michael Laughlin, Lindsay Keller, Mike Wright, Gria Weaver, Kelsey Carithers, Linz Gibbon, Drake Holvig, Only Child, Michael M, Wesley Akers, Riaz K, Emily Medeiros, Pip, Heather Wynn, Graves, Devin Sweatshirt, The Ordained Sinister Minister, and Philip Hoffman.
Hello everybody and welcome to Dystopian Simulation Radio. I'm your host Chris.
And I'm your other host Linz.
Hey Linz, we're going to be looking at one of the most enduring legends of all time. But before we get into that, a few things to talk about. But firstly, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm actually doing good. I had a lot of pizza today and I also went to a cafe that is essentially... somebody back in the days didn't want to pay rent, so they stuck a bunch of dynamite in the side of a cave, blew it up, and just lived in there.
Oh. As you do.
And now it's a cafe. So that was interesting. But I'm doing pretty good. How have you been, Chris? What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been pretty good. In terms of what I've been up to, just the usual type of thing. I've been looking after my son. Took him to the aquarium the other day.
Oh, what did you see?
Monkeys. Which is an unusual thing to have in an aquarium, but they have them there.
Underwater monkeys.
Sea monkeys. I saw seals, I saw some sharks, I saw some rays, I saw some various different fish, and he was excited by every single last one of them.
Did he giggle uncontrollably at the little faces underneath the rays that are like little smiling faces?
I don't think he's quite worked out what they are yet, let alone realize they've got a face on the underbelly.
Hopefully that's some kind of core memory.
But you mentioned something there. You said you'd been for pizza today. What type of pizza did he have?
Just a straight up fungi. I don't like to overcomplicate the pizza, you know. When it's good pizza, It's good pizza.
This is going to test our friendship here, but does pineapple belong on pizza?
Personally, no, but I'm not offended by people who have pineapple on pizza. Because in Sweden, they have pizza that has banana on it. So, I mean, it could be worse. Could be a worse fruit.
Could be. I have to say, you have passed the test. It doesn't belong on pizza. Well done. banana on pizza?
I know, it's horrendous. Curry and banana. Like, oh my God, I don't even want to go into it. There's some weird-ass pizzas in Sweden, honestly.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But anyway, before we get too far into the mystery of pizza, where can people see all of the images for today's episode?
You can see the images for today's episode on Instagram at d.s.radio, and you can also see pictures of our lovely faces there. And our recent feature in Pod Bible.
Oh, most certainly. In fact, the second part of our kind of work with Pod Bible, the interview on their podcast actually came out just a few short hours before we recorded this. And we are all over Pod Bible at the moment. We're really, really happy. And and we beat Louis Theroux.
Yes, I love Louis though. I honestly love him. But that's like a dream if he would just be on DSR one day. Maybe in the future, far, far in the future.
I'm sure we'll get on there when he does like a, you know, an expose on the world of podcasting.
Yeah, and in the meantime, we can measure our heads for the new crown.
But yes, we've been working a lot with Pod Bible. Hopefully, there'll be a couple of more things as well potentially coming your way. But it's just really nice to work with others in the podcasting space, especially in the UK. Give them a follow. If you like podcasts, you're bound to get some good recommendations from what they do over there. But right now, you're here. And don't forget, another place where you can be is our Patreon.
Yes, at patreon.com/dystopiansimulationradio.
If you come over, you can find all of the additional links that you're going to help you further reading. A lot of the sources that I used for today's episode, if you want to dive into some cave artwork as I've been doing today, then you can do that. It's going to be all over there on the Patreon. If there's extra content, we've sent some things out. We will be sending some things out to our Patreons who've provided their address. Currently, the Royal Mail in the UK has been hacked and you can't send anything abroad.
Has it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You can only send letters, and we've got more than letters to send.
So this is either really ignorant or genius, but I've blocked all news on my phone and computer, and I don't even know who the Prime Minister is, and it's amazing.
The way to deliver things internationally now is by Chinese weather balloon.
Yes. I mean, that's how I've been delivering everything for years, to be honest.
So it's
I
your
just catapult
fault.
It off into the abyss and hope that it goes where it needs to go.
So the very last thing before we jump into the meat of today's episode is that in a former life, I was a teacher over in Japan. And one of my students has started her own band and has released her first record on a label over there. So I want to play a short part of that for you guys. So yeah, that is my former student Maki and her band Carpenters Blue. They're trying really hard to gain a bit of a following right now. So if you want to do a good deed for the day, follow the link that I will put on all of our socials and so on. And just give them a thumbs up, maybe give them a like on Spotify. You know what, the music is actually pretty good. So I definitely recommend checking it out, especially if you're into kind of shoegazing, early Smashing Pumpkins, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. I've just subscribed and liked. So I'll be getting more of that in my feed.
There you go. First good deed of the day.
I actually like it, so less of a good deed, more of for myself.
You know what? It's actually genuinely really good.
Yeah, it is. Like it's not normally that you can say that, but we actually have a lot of like friends, fans, listeners, and in this case, former students who do really good projects. So we're lucky in that way.
Yeah, man. I'm just so immensely proud of her for following a dream. To be honest, she's always wanted to do that ever since the first moment I met her. So absolutely stoked for the album is on Spotify. Give it a few streams. They'll get like quarter of a penny or quarter of a yen for each one. So every stream counts.
Yeah, and follow their socials because every follow counts.
Speaking of which, if you're not following us, make sure that you are. After that, though, let's jump into today's episode. So, Linz, let us return finally to the world of cryptid.
Oh, yeah. I love a cryptid. I've been waiting for one.
Well, I know you love a good cryptid, and you know I do one too. So far, we've covered cryptids such as the Pensacola Sea Monster, Geth the Talking Mongoose, and the Dover Demon, some lesser-known cryptids. So make sure you check those out in the archives. But today, we're covering a big one, perhaps the most famous cryptid of all time. Any ideas?
Oh, God. It's either going to be fucking Loch Ness or Bigfoot, I think.
Well, put on your kilt and your sporran, because it's Bigfoot.
Oh! God, my heart, like, my soul almost left my body. I was like, please, no, don't be, like, mocking me with fucking Drain the Lock for an entire hour.
So Bigfoot, or as they prefer to be called, Sasquatch. Linz, what do you know about Bigfoot, apart from the fact that it has very large socks?
You know what? Like, Bigfoot is probably the most famous cryptid, but I don't think I know that much about him. I think he's a US-based creature. And Or is he? I don't know. He could be Canadian. You never know. And he's just a big monkey-like man who gets spotted now and again in blurry pictures and wears a watch sometimes, I think.
Well, let's dive into the evidence, deep into the forest, and find ourselves a Sasquatch.
Chris.
Yes.
Before we start, you don't happen to be any relation to the Sasquatch, do you?
Yes, he's my third cousin twice removed.
For those who don't know, Chris is about 8 feet tall and very hairy.
I'm not going to deny it.
No, true. I think this is a sort of personal endeavor, this episode. This is like ancestry for Chris. He did a DNA test and he's 30% Yeti.
Hey, stop giving it away, man.
Sorry, I'll stop.
Anyway, this episode was nominated by one of our lovely Patreons, Druanne. So thanks for the suggestions and for making us watch countless hours of shaky footage of hairy ape boys walking across ravines.
AKA CCTV footage of Chris in Morrison's. Okay, I'll stop.
So Linz, apart from the obvious joke over here right now, where might you find a big...
In the forest, in the mountains. I believe he has cousins in the snowy peaks.
Right.
I'm saying America. I bet we've probably seen them in Canada. Maybe like Washington.
Okay. Interesting. So is that the state that you're gonna go with, Washington?
I think I wanna say Washington. I don't know why. I just feel like he would be Washington based. You know, like those people from the capitals, they usually, like, anything interesting, not interesting, but anything famous here happens in London. So I'm guessing.
Wait. Do you mean Washington State or Washington, D.C.? Because they're very different things.
D.C., like hanging on like a...
Or just hanging out by the Capitol.
You know,
building.
Like he would, in a flannel shirt playing with Minor Threat. That's what I'm saying. Not the state.
Well, no. I was going to say you're right, but...
No, I'm kidding.
that was actually a softball question for you, as there have been sightings in 49 US states.
That doesn't surprise me.
Linz.
Yes.
It's time for the top 5 states with Bigfoot sightings.
Okay.
So this is a little game that we're going to play. And how this is going to work is I will give you the state nickname, and you have to tell me which state it is. So,
okay.
Spoiler, Hawaii is the state that is the 50th state, the one that does not have any Bigfoot sightings. So we know it as Hawaii, but the state nickname is the Aloha State.
Okay, yeah.
So, coming in at number 5 is the Lone Star State.
Sorry, my brain just died. It instantly went Texas. And then I was like, Lone Star. This should be obvious. I don't know.
I mean, it's so obvious you might have just said it.
Oh, did I? Is it Texas?
It is Texas, yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know why it is, but I just know that knowledge is in there.
So yes, the Lone Star State, Texas, has had 253 reported sightings of Bigfoot. Number 4, ooh, the Beaver State.
Beaver. Hold on, I can get this. But when I think beaver, I just think Canada. I don't think America. No, beaver. Oh, God.
So this state is most famous for a game where you can die of dysentery.
What? What's that got to do with beavers?
No, it's just what the state's most famous for. A really old computer game. Like text-based.
I don't know. I'm feeling like it would be like near Idaho. Oh. Well, is
not,
it?
Not a million miles away. I wouldn't call it near, but okay. Not, it's sort of on this. It's closer than further away. It's Oregon with.
Okay, so I'm not doing too bad.
No. Oregon has just beat Texas's 253 with 257.
That's a lot. Yes. This is not where I've been expecting. Like, Texas, I didn't expect. I don't know why.
Well, then the next one, number three, the Sunshine State.
California.
The other one.
The other one?
The other sunny place.
Florida?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, yeah, Sunny Delight.
There you go. Sunny D, Florida, with 338. Number two, the Golden State.
Oh, man, I know this. That's where that serial killer guy was from. Oh, fuck. Golden State.
Think of bridges.
San Francisco. Oh, right?
No, but that's not a state.
Oh, what state is that?
Think of Hollywood, Apple.
Oh, like LA?
It's not a state.
Where is it? I know, but that's what I'm saying. What the fuck is the state? It's not coming to me.
Mighty Ducks.
Oh, this is not helping, Chris. My brain is mushy right now, and you're like, Mighty Ducks, where the fuck is it? Why is this not coming to me?
You've literally said it in the last answer.
Oh, California.
That's right, California, with 461 sightings of our hairy friend. But topping off the list, the Evergreen State.
Washington State.
That's right, Washington State.
I was like, where is San Francisco? Sorry. Okay, Washington State, woo!
So Washington State is the undisputed king of Bigfoot sightings with 708 to its credit as of recording in early 2023.
Ooh, I was right then. Jokes aside.
You were very right. You were very right. Does it surprise you that they're kind of spread out?
No, I expect them to be in Florida. I expect everything weird to be in Florida, so that doesn't surprise me. Middle of nowhere places, that doesn't surprise me. Washington State feels like where he would live.
Yeah.
And yeah, it definitely feels like it would be the number one place.
I mean, you're also right as well, because these places are nearby bordering, many of them, with Canada as well, obviously. California,
yeah, exactly.
Florida, Texas, no, but in the Pacific Northwest, up where Washington State is and Oregon and so on, that is bordering with Canada. So you're also right that there have been a lot of reports in Canada, British Columbia being the main one, which borders Washington State and has coincidentally also this number of reports.
Yes, like that's what I think. He's definitely Canadian, but he just goes on holiday.
It seems like the dude does have a passport because there have been sightings internationally as well.
I was about to say, has he ever been seen in Europe?
Europe, not so much. There's been a few. So I did find like one case of it, of somebody saying they saw one in London.
it's just going to see Metallica.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not including that on the list. But there have been sightings in Australia, China, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Himalayas, and Russia.
That doesn't surprise me. Indonesia seems like a place that would sight gigantic monkeys in the forest, in my experience.
Most famously, though, Bigfoot is a resident of the good old US of A. Linz, is there a particular image that flashes in your mind when you think of Bigfoot?
Yep. Big, hairy, ape-like creature with gigantic feet, a wristwatch, blurry and far away in some like a sparse brush, walking kind of flamboyantly.
Yeah, that's
black
that's
and it. White.
Nail on head, you're referring to the most famous bit of footage of Bigfoot, which is the Patterson-Gimlin film, or PGF for short, in the Bigfoot community, the Bigfoot interest group, the Bigfoot fetishists, the Bigfoot fetishists.
Bigfoot Survivors Club.
Yeah, let's go with that. Now, the PGF footage is the most famous film of Bigfoot, and it's likely the one that you're thinking of right now. Shaky cam footage of a large ape-like creature walking towards a forest opening, turning at one point briefly towards a camera, forging the iconic Bigfoot silhouette that you can now find plastered everywhere. But who filmed this, and why? It was shot in 1967 next to Bluff Creek in Northern California. It was filmed by two men, Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin. The footage featuring Patty, as Bigfoot in the footage would be nicknamed later on, only lasts for 59.5 seconds and was filmed on a rented Cine Kodak K100 camera at either 16 or 18 frames per second. There is some debate, rather than the 24 frames that Patterson would have preferred if he'd had time to set things up. Now, Linz, please watch the footage which I, and by I mean someone else on Reddit, have stabilised for you.
Oh, thank you, Reddit user. Okay. When it's stabilised and seeing it look a bit more sort of processed, it honestly just looks like a man swaggering around. Like, there's nothing really ape-like about it. Yeah, I mean, he really ate with that walk. I gotta say that. No crumbs left. But it looks very fake. I don't know why. Like, I don't know what Bigfoot would walk like. Maybe like something that kind of on the more human side of ape would walk more like a man. But this is like a bloke swaggering after a couple of pints.
Well, it's interesting that you'll say that, because some of the most interesting evidence in favor of this footage being real is in relation to the gait of this creature, or the way that it walks.
Okay. Right. That's interesting, because I don't think I've seen any sort of ape-like creature walk like that.
I mean, I suppose that they are supposedly rather closely related to us, which would explain
I know,
why it
but
walked
like, if,
like us.
If you look at a chimp or something, it looks more closely related to us, but that walks like a maniac.
Maybe it was just having a bad day at the Bigfoot office.
Okay. He does look angry with that walk.
Well, I always thought that this footage was the result of an unexpected encounter, that it was some kind of footage from some guys with a camera who were maybe out on a fishing trip and happened to catch a Bigfoot out having some beers in the forest or something. However, they actually set out to find themselves a Sasquatch. But let's roll it back to the start. Roger Patterson became obsessed with the Bigfoot after reading an article on the abominable snowman, otherwise known as the Yeti, or Yeti, if you're a fan of crappy WCW wrestling gimmicks. The Yeti is essentially Bigfoot's Asian cousin. It's said to be a player from the Himalaya. And after reading this article, Patterson set out to investigate a more localized giant ape in nearby California. He visited Bluff Creek for the first time in 1962, where he was shown fresh Bigfoot tracks by a local. Patterson was hooked, but just like with any drug, the first taste of Bigfoot is free, but it's a short path to debt after that.
What, Chris?
He quickly began a research foundation into finding the hairy forest ninjas. Through it, he solicited funds that he used to comb every inch of the forest area around Bluff Creek. But he constantly was running out of money. He began giving lectures, talking to those who would donate along with him, and even self-published his own book, all to aid in drumming up funds to support his game of hide and seek with the Sasquatch. was a man who wanted to believe. Suspiciously, he had also reportedly trademarked the term Bigfoot. That sets off alarm bells for me at very outset.
Yeah, but there's a clear goal here. It's to trademark the thing, promote the thing, find evidence of the thing, make money from the thing. Surely that's what happened.
Step one, acquire underpants. Step three, profit.
Yes. Manifest.
In an effort to raise more funds, Patterson came up with the idea of shooting a pseudo-documentary about a group hunting Bigfoot, being led by a wise Native American tracker, played by his mate Robert Gimlin in a wig.
Oh, no!
Robert Gimlin, who was not Native American, to the best of my knowledge, but did wear a mean wig.
Oh, God.
Now, Gimlin was different to Patterson. A cowboy, whose day job was, being a cowboy. But he had not made it his life's mission to discover Bigfoot. He was just along for the ride with his friend. In fact, he didn't even really believe in the damn things. But he did promise that he wouldn't shoot it if they did encounter one.
He would lasso it.
Ironically, they did shoot a Sasquatch on a subsequent journey, but with a Cine Kodak camera.
Chris.
Patterson and Gimlin were riding their horses when they both simultaneously spotted Patty behind some fallen trees. They estimated that the Squatch was between 6 foot and 7 foot six, which is quite a big difference, to be honest. I'm 6'2", and Yao Ming, the basketball player, is 7'6". Andre the friggin' Giant was only 7 foot four. So, make up your mind, guys. Was he a slightly tall average human, or was he the size of one of the biggest basketball players in the world?
They didn't have him for reference back then. They were he's about a door and a half big.
You know how I measure things? I measure things in pro wrestlers.
What am I then? Don't say that.
you're one whole Taz. So the beast was covered in silvery brown and black hair from head to toe. Something that you might not have noticed in the footage, but breasts are visible, suggesting that Patty was either female or a very overweight male with moobs.
So wait a minute, Patty.
Patty.
This is what they called it.
That's the name of the Bigfoot that they, or what they named the Bigfoot, which I think, I don't know if that's a cute name or if Patterson was trying to hone his own name in there, just fist it in.
Yeah, when people identify tornadoes and they're like, I'll name myself after this destructive thing. But yeah, okay, female with boobs. I know nothing about Bigfoot, apparently.
In the film, you'll notice that the camera is rather shaky. And this is because as the Sasquatch nonchalantly strolled across the creek, the men promptly freaked out. Their horses reared up and they had to fumble in their bags for a camera and a gun for protection. They had to scramble into position to obtain the famous footage. Bigfoot was captured walking confidently across the creek, turning back for a second and continuing on. It remains the best documented footage of Bigfoot until a real one was cast for Harry and the Hendersons. Now, our two intrepid heroes, Patterson and Gimlin, then mounted their horses again with a yee-haw and pursued the creature for a mile until, much like a 70s skin flick, eventually losing it in the thick bush. Regardless, Patterson had his golden ticket and circled back to the footage location to take a plaster cast of the foot imprint to sell on OnlyFans.
I wonder if Bigfoot from Bigfoot and the Hendersons not OnlyFans, but is it OnlyFeet?
WikiFeet.
There's some foot. Yeah, WikiFeet, exactly. OnlyFeet, hey, trademark that.
I don't know, but have you seen Harry in anything else since Harry and the Hendersons? He's got to be doing porn by now.
Yeah, that's probably why we haven't seen him. We need to refine our searches.
And more power to you. More power to you, Harry. Now, Patterson had the footage developed as quickly as possible, but struggled to get anyone to take it seriously. Most scientists shunned the footage in the USA. Eventually, he found a warmer reception in Europe, and specifically at our old friend, the BBC.
You're kidding.
Nope, the British Broadcasting Company, paid for by the taxpayer, happily took the footage and inserted it into a docudrama that they filmed about Bigfoot, which Patterson was allowed in exchange to tour with in the USA and, all importantly, make money from.
Ooh.
He quickly embarked on a tour from sea to shining sea with the film and sold the rights to the footage repeatedly, often in overlapping areas, causing years of legal dispute as to who actually owns the footage. Many would later describe Patterson as a liar and a con man, but others claim that he was a real deal Bigfoot hunter. Patterson sadly passed away in 1972 of Hodgkin lymphoma, but Gimlin is very much still alive today. However, unlike Patterson, he shunned away the fame after feeling that he did not receive a fair share of the profits that he was promised, and his wife's reluctance to the ridicule being rained down upon his family.
Hey, Bigfoot boy.
You laugh, but it got so bad that cars would pull up outside his house in the middle of the night and shout Bigfoot obscenities, hurl them at the house in the middle of the night.
And what kind of obscenities? Please tell me you've got some quotes.
I don't, unfortunately. They were not elaborated on, but...
I know it's so mean because it probably was really stressful to have absolute nutcases come by your house and scream and know where you live. Like, I do feel really bad for them, but I'm just viewing this in sort of like a Simpsons episode style in my head.
Well, I mean, it got so bad that his wife suffered ridicule at her regular old bank job.
Oh, no.
I mean, of course, it was also, I mean, really, she should have seen it coming. She did work for the Bank of Sasquatch. It was asking for trouble.
Shut up, Chris.
Both Patterson and Gimlin echoed each other's thoughts and sentiments later in life that they wish they had just shot the damn thing and brought back the body as proof. Now, Gimlin shied away from public life after the aforementioned incident for 35 years before re-emerging in 2003 when a Russian scientist contacted him about attending a conference to talk about the footage. After being met with an overwhelmingly positive reception at the conference, Gimlin was back in the Bigfoot business, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Although his wife insists, go to all the concerts and all the signings you like. Just don't bring it back home. I don't want to know.
Is that real or was that a joke?
She does insist that he does not bring anything to do with Bigfoot into the home.
Oh, my God. She's actually kind of traumatized by it. For real, that's so bad.
But wait, Linz. Plot twist.
Okay.
Years later, a third man emerged. A man in a 10-gallon hat. His name was Bob Hieronymus. I'm leaving that in. And he claimed to be the third man alongside Patterson and Gimlin. The third man who was cosplaying as a Sasquatch.
That was him. Oh, yes.
Now, let's hear from Bob.
Oh, please.
Bob's finally going public, even though he knows that some folks still want to believe in the legend. Really, Bigfoot, or just a big liar? The lie detector is soon to find out. Bob, you're here today with a very unusual claim. That you are actually Bigfoot.
That's right.
I don't think there are many people who have not seen that shadowy picture of this beast going through the woods, looking back over his shoulder. And you're telling me that that wasn't Sasquatch, that wasn't Bigfoot, that was you in a costume.
That was me in a costume in 1967 in the Roger Patterson Bigfoot film, yes.
How did this happen?
Well, I ran around with Roger for a while, and he figured that he would make a suit or have a suit made, have somebody wear it, they would take a film of it and prove to the world that, you know, there was a real Bigfoot. Well, I was a big, stout guy, you know, back then, and that's who they needed. They needed somebody they could trust, and they asked me if I would do it for $1,000.
$1,000 is a lot of money.
A lot of money then.
Yeah. So
heck yeah, as long as it's illegal, I'll do it, you know.
That's right.
Because it's not against the law to run around the woods with a suit on, you know. So I agreed to do it. So I met Roger up at his house. He lived about 15 miles above us up there. And, I went up there and tried the suit on.
So it was a furry suit. It was like a gorilla suit.
Yeah, it was a furry looking thing, yeah.
And what was the head part like? How did you put it on?
I put it on like a football helmet. And I walked back and forth the way he wanted me to walk, the Bigfoot walk. And he said, that's perfect. That's just what we want. So a week or two later, took off for California. The Bluff Creek Road where the film was made, they had a camp set up there. The next morning, we got up and had some coffee or whatever. I don't know if we cooked up or what, but and they helped me into the suit. And Roger told me to go over this certain place and stand. And when he yelled or gave me the signal to do the Bigfoot walk down through there.
And what was the Bigfoot walk? How would you describe it?
He wanted me to look kind of like a gorilla, you know, swing your arms back, you know, and take long strides. And then I had to turn and they said that no human being could turn like I did. Turn your hips, you know, as you're walking, uh-huh. And turn back to look at him. Well, no big deal. But I walked down through there. They said, cut, you know, that's it. That's enough.
It is him.
So, Linz, what do you make of Bob?
I love Bob, and I again, another Bob to believe in. I believe in Bob because, right, when he demonstrated, like, first of all, that the interviewer opens with, "You're Bigfoot," which just sent me. But secondly, the walk, that is the walk. He's doing the walk. That is definitely him. It's got to be. I've never believed something so quickly.
He certainly perfected it. The best bit of footage that they possibly could have is him walking back and forth repeatedly as they do in that footage. We'll post it on the Patreon. It is, go out of your way to watch this particular bit of footage. But we have good news. Bob was subjected to a lie detector test. So let's see what happened.
Are you now sitting down?
Yes.
Were you the Bigfoot shown in the 1967 Patterson film?
Yes.
Well, now's the moment of truth. Bob Hieronymus is going to walk away from Lie Detector today with a brand new label. Either it's going to be the real Bigfoot or a really big liar. Here are Bob's results. Bob, you came on Lie Detector today to tell the whole nation that you are the real Bigfoot. We asked you a following relevant question. Was that you in a Bigfoot costume portrayed in the 1967 Patterson film? To which you answered yes. Bob, the Lie Detector has determined that you are... Bob, you're telling the truth.
Well, I always knew it was the truth. Everybody that I'm associated with, have been around, knew it was the truth. I'm glad it's over. I had the best guy in the country give me this test. Now, I can prove to the world that I was in the Patterson Bigfoot film.
So, Linz, what do you make of this revelation?
I knew it. I believed it. I believe him. I'm not surprised.
I think it's worth us kind of describing Bob. Could you explain to the listeners what Bob looks like in his late middle age?
He looks kind of like Hank Hill in a cowboy hat from King of the Hill. He's a Caucasian man with a white cowboy hat and a flannel shirt in blue and red. He's quite a tall guy. Got that cowboy silhouette, although a middle-aged cowboy, as you said. But just a... like a shaved Bigfoot.
You see, there's one thing that I would cast doubt on in that all of his footage, every single piece of footage that we've seen of Bob, he's mm-hmm. wearing a cowboy hat. But if you look carefully at the Bigfoot footage, he is not wearing a cowboy hat.
No, he's wearing a Bigfoot hat. Maybe he's put it on top of the cowboy hat to get some extra length.
Well, we found out quite a bit about the men behind the Bigfoot craze. But what about the big guy himself? Let's dive right into that. But first, let's get to our ad break question. Ooh.
Ooh, what's this? Why were there Bigfoot concerns during Return of the Jedi?
Find out right after this.
Welcome back. And the reason why there were Bigfoot concerns during Return of the Jedi were...
The producers were concerned that Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca, might be shot dead by local hunters in the California Redwoods, mistaking the friendly Wookiee for a Sasquatch.
A Rambo Sasquatch.
We all know that that's a bit silly, though, isn't it? Because everybody knows that Wookiees are from Kashyyyk and live in trees. Whereas Sasquatch, they live on Earth, on the ground. They are totally different.
Yeah, and they're different colours. And one has, like, bullets strapped around its chest.
Details, schmetails. Anyway, moving on to Bigfoot. Linz.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a Sasquatch?
Yes, I actually... I podcast with one. And, I hang out with one sometimes. No.
Have you ever heard a Sasquatch?
Potentially. I mean, I've heard some weird shit in the forests of Sweden. There could be a Sasquatch. Could be a pine marten. Who knows?
Do you want to hear a Sasquatch?
Yes.
Of that.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me at almost 11 p.m. at night, Chris. I've just got chills all over my body and I hate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
To be honest, though, it does, like, this sounds really weird, but, like, in England, where I don't live really close to nature and stuff, like, you know, in England, it's not when you live kind of where we do, you don't really hear many animals and stuff. But in Sweden, when I'm there, it's like we live next to a forest. And you'd be really surprised what like deer, moose and other creatures sound like. Like sometimes deer sound really freaking demonic and creepy. So like I kind of get that in a forest if it's very active. The birds too, like owls and everything. Like some of them, like you listen to it and you go, what the hell is that? Like sometimes it sounds like screaming and like it's really, really creepy when you're like in a remote area. So like I can understand that you could get recordings like that. But when you listen to this, it's like so many different types of like vocalization from God knows what. And like I noticed a lot of people in the comments are saying like, oh, it sounded like this in Chinese. Oh, it sounded like this in French. Oh, it sounds like this. So it's kind of like an EVP in that way. Like everyone's interpreting it as other things. And someone even said in the comments like, oh, it sounds like they're trying to mimic humans in distress to lure people out. And that just made my, like, I got goosebumps reading that because I was like, that is like a horror movie plot. Like, that is so disturbing. It really is creepy.
There's been some interesting research done into this, and these sounds are known as the Sierra sounds, and they were documented by friends Al Berry and Ron Moorhead. Much like the Sith, with Bigfoot hunters, there are always two, apparently. The pair were out in the Sierra Nevada mountains in eastern California and recorded this strange language. Scott Nelson, a U.S. Navy cryptologic linguist, which is a horrible thing to call somebody in a fight, said,
"It is definitely a language. It is definitely not human in origin, and it could not have been faked."
Case closed. See you next time, guys.
Okay, bye. The guy said a thing. But honestly...
Bye, Patreon. Bye.
Yeah. There's nothing mysterious in this world. Everything is true, and you just have to believe everything man says. So, I don't know. I feel like I could pick out kind of some different animals. Could you? Like, I thought I heard, like, coyote or something, and a bird.
There was definitely other things mixed in there.
Yeah. It's spooky.
Yeah, there's some spooky stuff.
It's very spooky.
But Linz, we've talked a lot about where our common ideas, modern ideas of Bigfoot have come from. We've listened to some of their chattering. But what do we actually know about Bigfoot? Well, at this point in the podcast, not a whole lot. Mm. But here, I have a lot of information to tell you. I've gone down a Bigfoot rabbit hole, if you will, and I've come out of it with a lot of information. So Bigfoot reports range quite widely, but Bigfoot is generally described as somewhere between an ape and a human. Specifically, the face tends to be described as somewhat more human-like than ape. Covered in hair from head to toe, the color has been reported as black, brown, gray, red, or even white. It's a tall boy, being described as between 6 and 15 foot tall in various accounts. And of course, it's famous for its big feet, of which countless examples have been found and plaster cast. Supposedly, Bigfoot weighs between 300 and 600 pounds, or a maximum of 7.59 Rey Mysterio Jr.'s.
I knew that was coming.
Its main source of protein is supposedly deer.
Huh?
Yeah.
I thought it was a vegetarian who ate McFish sandwiches.
A pescatarian. It eats all sorts of things, including deer, apparently.
But what do monkeys eat? Like...
monkeys?
Like apes?
I think it varies, but they tend to eat fruits, foliage.
Yeah.
I think they eat, like, small invertebrates and stuff like that.
Yeah, they don't hunt, like, large prey, do they?
But if they were bigger...
yeah,
they
but
might kill you and everyone you love.
True. I mean, I guess I have seen Kong Island.
The name Sasquatch is an anglicization, or bastardization, depending on your point of view, of First Nation people's name for the beast along the west coast of America. Now, I won't attempt to pronounce it, actually, because I'll just make a fool of myself. But what it translates to in the various languages tends to be something along the lines of wild men. Mm. And as we've heard, Bigfoot are quite vocal when they want to be, but reportedly they also reek. A large number of reports suggested a foul odor accompanying sightings. Odors have been described as rotten flesh, poop, old vomit, outhouses, rotten fish, rotten eggs, or foul or just sickening.
He's a Victorian boy. Okay.
Traditionally, they are considered to be non-aggressive, shy, quite intelligent, and reportedly mystical.
Ooh-woo.
Possibly possessing supernatural powers.
Yeah, I feel like they would. I feel like they wouldn't hunt deer, but they'd like heal them in the wild and be like, go.
The First Nation peoples consider Bigfoot to be a non-physical being, which explains its penchant for spiriting itself away from those who've gone looking.
Mm.
Some consider it to live on another astral plane and only transmorphosizes into ours temporarily. Supposedly, Bigfoot has both psychic and transformative abilities, appearing to some in a group, but not others. Some people believe that it can shapeshift, most commonly into the form of a wolf.
Oh, I like this.
Interestingly, reports state, and you heard this at the beginning of that footage that we listened to, you know that you're in Bigfoot territory when you hear the sound of a stick hitting against a tree repeatedly. And this particular phenomenon is one of the most commonly reported Bigfoot indicators and is reported on even in modern times.
Really? Okay. That's interesting.
Examples of Native American pictorial hairy man images, as they're known, have been discovered, and its history runs deep within the First Nation. Legends showing the hairy man as both a friend and a foe. But let's ask ourselves another question. Could Bigfoot actually exist? Well, yes. Linz, take a look at this handsome gentleman.
Okay. What on earth? Is that a really big orangutan?
It is exactly a very big orangutan.
Really? Oh my gosh.
This is Gigantopithecus, or to give it its common name, the giant orangutan, bigger than a gorilla and with a human-like teeth. This guy did exist, not anymore. Sadly, that is a model that you're looking at right there, but he did live in Central Asia, and fossil evidence shows us as much. And it has been suggested that the creature have crossed ice bridges to the Americas years and years ago before they melted and left the USA with its most enduring cryptid. Orangutans are the closest that we have to a real Sasquatch that we know of, anyway. They exhibit one of the most striking aspects of Bigfoot in their behavior, which is their solitude. Orangutans, unlike almost all other apes and monkeys, do not form social family groups and wander their environment alone, only coming together by accident or to go down to Pound Town. So it's most likely that if Bigfoot does exist and it isn't a metaphysical creature from another astral plane, it would be an offshoot of Gigantopithecus. Now, let's consider something else, Linz.
Mm-hmm.
What if Bigfoot isn't Bigfoot? What is it?
What if he's Littlefoot? Little Hand?
Jeremy Beadle?
Oh no, that's so mean.
Let's bring things back down to earth a little bit. What would you think? If they weren't actual Bigfoot, what could they be?
An alien.
Well, number one on my list is actually yes.
Yes! They're always aliens.
There does seem to be a link between Sasquatch and UFO sightings, the former often being seen on the ground when there have been UFO sightings in the sky in an area. It's an interesting idea, but what does it mean? Hairy aliens?
Space monkeys.
Your guess is as good as mine on this one. The most likely explanation from the animal kingdom would be... Any guesses?
A big bear with, like, a skin issue on its face.
Well, you are right.
Yes!
A bear. If you take a look at the image that I just sent you, specifically the black bear, which has a tendency to rear up on its hind legs and can even walk on its hind legs for a period of time.
Oh, it's so deadly and so cute.
Now, certainly the black bear does share the same territory as good old Bigfoot, but black bears have never been reported to bang sticks on trees as a warning. So, another idea, could Bigfoot be rogue orangutans, escaped from a zoo and gone feral?
God, I hope so.
Just throwing it out there. The other explanation is that they are all a great big stinky hoax, perpetuated by conmen like Patterson for profit. Certainly, it's not hard to fake footprints in the mud, and experts have commented that the Patterson Gimlin footage is likely a guy in a suit, although much harder to prove than you think. Some have claimed that on certain frames that a zipper is visible. Others say that the breasts are covered in hair, which is a giveaway as no ape has this. Criticized the walk, although nobody has been able to replicate the exact gait shown in the PGF Bigfoot footage.
You need a couple of beers before you can replicate that. I will say, though, on the topic of the walk, I guess if you put on a big suit like that, you probably do walk kind of funny. Could be a weight thing.
There's been world-renowned experts in gaits, which is the way that you walk. And there's some very interesting work that's been done. But anyway, they had world-class gait experts look into the Bigfoot footage and try to replicate it, and they couldn't, even with fake suits and pads and everything else.
I feel like you can be an expert, but like, what if he was wearing like his cowboy boots and he was drunk and he just, I don't know, became some weird drunk bipedal creature in a heavy suit?
Now you're sounding like a Fox News guest. I've had enough of experts. What do they know?
No, but you know what I mean? Like sometimes, like I've read about a couple of court cases where they try to prove something. And then it turns out later when someone confesses that there was some like unknown element. So I'm not saying that like it's wrong. I'm not an expert on walks, but like there could just be something weird to it like that, like a drunk guy in cowboy boots. They probably never tested that theory. A man in orthopedic shoes.
The fact of the matter is that it's very shaky, amateur, grainy footage on a less than ideal camera. So that very much goes towards helping it look realistic.
Yeah.
As anybody who's ever tried to film a horror movie in the woods will attest, shaking it around as much as possible will add some realism to your footage.
Yeah, they Blair Witched that Bigfoot.
Now, some people will claim that in the footage it's simply just a cheap suit. Others point to the fact that at the time the suits that were being used in Hollywood for Return of the Planet of the Apes, for example, just weren't as advanced as the one in this footage.
Oh.
But one thing is for sure, until there's a Bigfoot carcass, many will refuse to believe. Well, you'll be happy to know, Linz, that there is one group who are vigilantly watching over, hot on the tail of the oddly large footprints left behind. And that group is BFRO, or B-F-R-O, the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. And you can spend hours on their website getting lost on all the Sasquatch sightings. Just search for BFRO on Google and prepare to lose about 14 hours into research.
Well, that's my weekend planned. Thanks, Chris.
Now, Linz.
Yes.
Do you know that there are different categories of Bigfoot encounter? Just like with aliens, there's a close encounter of the third, second and first kind. In Bigfoot encounters, they are broken down into class A, B and C. Or if you're feeling rebellious, class C, B and A.
Mm-hmm.
Linz, what do you think would be a class C?
I think that would be like evidence of like you find the footprint or something. And you go, he's been here. Maybe.
Kind of, yeah. It's a second or third hand report of a Bigfoot sighting. So, for example, my brother's cousin saw a Bigfoot at 7-Eleven once.
Oh, that can't be a classification. Surely.
Well, it is. I mean, I think they're not quite as silly as my example there, but I think it would be like...
Oh, maybe eyewitness statement. Okay.
Well, it's specifically a second or third hand one, so not a first hand sighting. So like my brother once saw a Bigfoot when we were younger and he came in and told me about it.
Okay. Well, I guess when you don't have that much to go on, it's something.
What do you think a class B encounter would be?
I guess that would be you seeing it or you... But then A would be you. I don't know. Is A like you have a sexual encounter with it? Because I know Bigfoot erotica is a thing from our friend Septembrio.
Oh God, I'm going to have to read this on the Patreon, aren't
I? Yeah, like, you know, that's what I was going to suggest. Patreon reading. We can read it. We can order one and read it.
Well, a Class B is either a sound-only report or a credible report in less than favorable visual conditions.
Okay.
A gorilla in the mist. So the last one then should be easy. Class A.
Just seeing it, I guess.
Well, it's Harry and the Hendersons. If you adopt a Bigfoot and break bread with it, have it live in your house and get it a job in your local community, that's a Class A.
Yeah, and a win for all.
Also acceptable as Class A is a visual sighting in favourable conditions where confusion with another animal can all be almost entirely ruled out.
Mm, yeah, that's fair enough.
However, I should say that I should also include this note from BFRO on their rating system.
Okay. The BFRO's report classification system rates that the circumstantial potential for misinterpretation, not the credibility of the witness or how interesting the report is. If you are checking the recent editions page periodically for new reports or to steadily gain a better understanding of behaviour and geographic range, you should pay attention to both Class A and Class B reports.
There you go. Now, you may be thinking, but these First Nation stories, the PGF film, they're all from quite a long time ago. People aren't seeing Bigfoot now, are they? Well, yes, of course they are, dear listener.
Is it like YouTube channels dedicated to Bigfoot sightings?
100% there is.
Yes.
But mainly it's more people generally don't have cameras out and just find one like Patterson did. Mainly it's reports that are filed with the BFRO. And one Class A example that I picked from the BFRO files happened in Jefferson County, Washington, on February 25th, 2016.
Ooh.
A couple visited the Ho River on a clear day and had a rather hairy encounter.
I don't think we want to hear about this, Chris. Can you stay on topic here, please?
They were driving up a deserted road in a dense forest, running close to the river itself. When around 400 yards up the road, a 7 to 8 foot tall creature, covered from head to toe in dark hair, strode out from the forest onto the road, walking on two legs, and in just 3 steps disappeared into the trees on the other side of the road. This being Washington, I guess that these trees were Douglas firs in true Twin Peaks style, Diane. Both witnesses were in complete disbelief at what they just saw, but quizzed the other and confirmed that the other person saw exactly the same thing that they did. There are multiple reports like this, multiple reports monthly from all over the US and Canada to BFRO, so these people can't all be seeing bears, can they? At least one of these reports must be our giant orangutan. So, Linz, that's it for our first dive into Bigfoot lore. I feel that we may revisit this again in the future in some form or another, as there is a lot to get your feet into here. But let's close on this question. Linz, after hearing all of the evidence, do you believe that Bigfoot could exist?
Do you know what? I actually do. I mean, it's not that crazy. It's just a massive monkey. It's not like, you know, some insane made up creature that like breathes fire and has 5 heads. It's just a really giant version of something that already exists. And you never know. Like, you don't know what's out there, especially like Washington State, like the amount of forest there. There's got to be something out there, like some strange creature. It's not out of the realm of possibility for something like that to exist, I think. It's just a big version of something else that already exists.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is out there.
It is.
In Washington State. But you're right in so much as that the most believable thing about it is that it's just a big version of what we already know. And you think about a lot of cryptids are
mental.
Like Chupacabra. And, you know, it's like the goat sucker. You know, it's something unworldly. But Bigfoot, if it's just a large ape, or Megalodon, or just a large shark, these things are not outside of the realms of possibility. And in a lot of cases, we have fossil evidence that these types of creatures previously did exist. The question's more, do they still exist today?
Out there, somewhere, I believe they do, Chris.
Well, let us know. Write into us. Leave us a message on our SpeakPipe. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Do you think that Bigfoot could exist? Do you know a Bigfoot? Can we interview them?
Well, I know one.
Want to know. Drain the lock.
Shut up, Bigfoot.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening to today's episode. Please make sure that you like, share, and comment. Please make sure that you retweet us or whatever, you know, on anything Pod Bible does. Please just, you know, just swarm them and just be like, this is amazing. We want more of them. make sure that you rate us 5 stars on absolutely all of the platforms, especially Apple Podcasts, because it really helps other people to discover this show. And hey, if you know anybody who just wants to know a little bit more about Bigfoot, send them over the link for this episode. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, if you could share our podcast on your socials, on your Instagram stories, wherever you hang out online, that would be amazing. 5-star ratings are the best. They really help us. And yeah, just tell a friend about the podcast if you think they'd like it. We really appreciate it.
Until next time, make sure that you keep one eye peeled on the forest, because you never know what might be out there.
Yeah, keep your ears open.
Until next time, here's Carpenter's Blue to play us out.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. was shot in 1967 next to Bluff Creek in Northern California. California?
In the state of San Francisco.